Hey, this is Simon Rettner from The Checkout. Before we get into the show, just a couple of things I would like to tell you about. Our new website, wbgo.org. Check it out, especially The Checkout's show page. And of course, some of our new programs. Our fantastic conversation with the drummer Nate Smith and his amazing debut album, Kinfolk, Postcards from Everywhere. We also have a Checkout Live at Berklee College of Music, featuring Banda Magda, and an old archival interview we dug up with the NEA jazz master, Kenny Barron. All right, now on with the show. This is music from Bill Lawrence from the UK. You might know his work from that band, Snarky Puppy. Welcome to The Checkout. It's also a podcast from WBGO. That's what you're listening to right now. And we're not only on iTunes, but also on Stitcher. Yay! I'm Simon Rettner. If it has keys, Bill Lawrence will play it. From clavinets to vintage Rhodes to new keyboard inventions that feature rubber keys, huh? However, on this program, Lawrence goes all acoustic, only on Ebony's and Ivory's here. Lawrence gives us an exclusive 8-camera, 360 video studio session, which you can see now by going to wbgo.org. It features his London band in an all-acoustic setting. Today, we talk to Lawrence all about that, including his fetish for anything 88 and the Miles Davis recording that gave him the strength to make his latest studio recording, After Sun. This is The Checkout. Thanks for checking in. Bill Lawrence, keyboardist, original founding member of Snarky Puppy, a band that has grown into being a frisky, unpredictable Rottweiler. A group known for its work ethic, maddening touring schedule, and almost cult-like following, which is especially impressive, I must say, being an instrumental ensemble. And yet, Bill Lawrence still finds time to do his own projects, and he ropes in the original founding member Michael League in the process. Bill Lawrence joins us from England. Thank you so much for joining us on The Checkout, Bill Lawrence.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
I mentioned Snarky Puppy, which has always been a questionable name for a band, becoming a Rottweiler that and this tenacious touring schedule. Is the Rottweiler beginning to eat you, Bill Lawrence?
No, I mean, you know, it's only a joy, really, to have the opportunity to be touring the world and sharing live improvised instrumental music with people everywhere, you know, and being reminded daily how hungry people are for it. You know, that's only a very sort of privileged position to be in, and I kind of cherish it as much as I can. I mean, that said, you know, I think now that the band is has grown in the way that it has, I think everybody in the band is sort of trying to kind of forge their own creative paths now. Even Mike, actually, he's kind of getting really heavy into producing, and he's got all kinds of projects. He just produced David Crosby's record. And he's working on all kinds of different new exciting things. So, you know, and all the members of the band are sort of trying to explore their own stuff. So, I think, you know, there's kind of we'll all always be there for each other, and we'll all always love being on the road together. But I guess everyone's keen to kind of get their own voice out there now as well.
Let's explore your project. Let's begin with The Pines. This is an exclusive given to us, something you recorded in a more acoustic setting with some of your fellow Londoners, The Pines.
Thank you.
The Pines, tell us who's with you on this special checkout performance.
So this is my UK lineup. This tune features Joshua Blackmore on drums, and Chris Heisen on upright bass, and then Felix Higginbottom on percussion.
And we're not just giving you audio of this, but there's you did an 8-camera shoot for a 360 video that you can now go to our website at checkoutjazz.org or wbgo.org and watch it for yourself. And I highly recommend it, given how many keyboards Bill Lawrence probably has in the background, or maybe not, because this is an acoustic setting. How many how many keyboards did you bring to this session, Bill Lawrence?
I have to say, this was actually relatively fewer than normal.
You practice restraint.
Well, it's a lot to fit in the van, you know, and you're sort of lugging it in and out of the venue every night. It's kind of, it can take its toll, man. So we were just in an acoustic mood yesterday. So we were just focusing on all the sort of the pure acoustic instruments.
Well, for those that don't know Bill Lawrence, he is a bit of a, I'm sorry, I'm just going to call you a geek. You are a keyboard geek that likes collecting rare and strange synthesizers. What's the most number of keyboards that you've brought to any individual gig? And did either Michael Leake or the concert promoter want to kill you?
The first answer is I think I showed up with 7 keyboards in a show. The first show we did in Amsterdam, I think I had 7 keyboards. And yeah, for sure, the sound guy, he didn't have a very happy look on his face when I rolled in. But thankfully we do actually have our own sound guy now, so he's become used to it, you know. And yeah, a lot of people say, you know, surely you don't need 7. I mean, it seems a little excessive, but I mean, I don't know. Every keyboard is a different instrument as far as I'm concerned, and you know, it plays a completely different role, whether it's bass or lead or sort of more in the middle like the pads. You know, and so I don't know, and I feel if they're all in front of me, then I'll be inspired to play. You know, that's kind of, it's sort of about setting up your shop in the best possible way to be inspired to kind of find some new ideas. You know, so I try to make a point of taking it all with me as much as I can. You know, but yeah, it 7 is probably a little excessive.
So, Bill Lawrence, you have your definitive vintage Fender Rhodes that you highly covet, and you also have a very strange and modern keyboard devices with rubber keys that, I don't know, make some tremolo effect when you play the notes in real time. What keyboard are you dealing with right now that's your new mistress, your the keyboard you can't get enough of right now, and is it reflected on this record,
man? I mean, to be honest, on the album, the After Sun record that was released last year, the instrument I got the most kick out of, we recorded this amazing studio called Parlor Studios in New Orleans, and they have a class collection of vintage synths, and all their gear is just really in good nick as well. And they've got a clavinet there that it was just the sweetest sounding clav I've ever played in my life, and we ran it through about like 5 or 6 effects pedals, and I mean that was just like, I was a kid in the sweet shop with that thing. It was
you were purring.
I was purring.
You were rubbing your neck and face against it, marking your territory.
That's it, man, because you know the clavs are always hard, like they're always buzzing or there's always something wrong with them, you know, I find anyway, and this was just so sweet, and yeah, it was a dream, man. I was just in love with the thing.
What tune on the record do you hear this?
So the end of After Sun, the solo on that is they're both clavinet solos. They kind of sound like a guitar, but we kind of EQ'd it in such a way, and yeah, it's just so much fun to play.
Bill Lawrence joins us on the checkout. His recording is called After Sun. He is the keyboardist for the band you may have heard of called Snarky Puppy. And we did a fantastic project with them with our sister program, Jazz Night in America, that you can also check out by going to NPR Music's website.
I don't know if it's worth mentioning that After Sun came out earlier last year, but then the most recent release was a live record of this Union Chapel thing, live at Union Chapel with Mike and Spot on drums and bass, and then a string section and a French horn. So that's kind of been the most recent release.
Ooh, I love my jazz with French horns. You guys don't do that enough.
Tell me about it. Yeah, it's my favorite brass instrument by a mile. I just think it's so, you know, it's the perfect sort of. It's like somewhere between a trumpet and a trombone, but.
Right, it's like the flugelhorn of the trombone family.
Right, exactly.
Something that's so impressive to me about you, Bill Lawrence, and everybody a part of the Ground Up Music family, Michael League, Snarky Puppy, is that you guys are really like a grassroots operation, hence the title Ground Up. And you, instead of waiting for the media to come to you, you just sort of expedite the process and create your own documentaries, which you can watch on YouTube. A fantastic 6-part series featuring Bill Lawrence talking about his craft. And you can see all of these crazy, unusual keyboards as well. In that series, you said that some of the material you brought to Michael League for this project specifically, you were apprehensive about and doubted your composing prowess, shall we say. Take us through that process and like what tune on the record gave you, say, the hardest time and that you were most nervous bringing to the fore.
I mean, it's a funny story that whole process was very nearly basically didn't happen. In fact, it even came as far as I actually cancelled the entire session about a week before we were due to go in the studio because I just didn't have enough material. I went to bed that night, the night that I cancelled the session. So, because, you know, we had all the musicians and a whole camera crew and obviously the studio. So I called them all up, cancelled the session, went to bed, couldn't sleep, and then watched a documentary about the making of Miles Davis's Kind of Blue. And you know, it was very clear from that film how Miles's whole kind of thing was trying to capture the spontaneity that, you know, he, you know, because I realized I mean, I was kind of aware of it before, but you know, that Kind of Blue, every one of those tracks was the very, very first take, which, you know, is just kind of
mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's sort of unimaginable.
Because every note is perfect.
But, you know, part of that perfection, I think, lies in that spontaneous energy and kind of, you know, all those, you know, world-class musicians being able to be so open to kind of embracing the moment as it comes. And I kind of thought on that and I was like, okay, even if I don't have the material, I'm gonna try and have a go at embracing that element. So I just the following morning called everybody back and and said, "We're back on. I wanna put this back on." By which point, Michael League had already booked another session in New York, so he was only able to be with us for like the first sort of 2.5 days, and then he left. And me and Spot, the drummer.
God, Bill Lawrence, you're such a hot mess here. What, can't you get it together?
I know. Tell me about it. It was intense, man. I guess I just didn't really trust the compositions at this point. They were quite new and I hadn't really sat with them for very long, and I wasn't sure what the concept was, but I'd been more sure for my previous two records, Flint and Swift, but with this one I realized I just wanted to embrace the sort of writing in the studio process. So, you know, I sort of brought the songs to Mike and Spot, and we just sort of workshopped them basically, and basically kind of arranged and sort of co-wrote them together in the studio. And I kind of find that the energy that we ended up with as a result of going in like that, you know, created a very unique sort of approach, and I feel that the album After Sun is very different to Flint and Swift for that reason.
Any particular tune on this album, or what you just did, reflects the story most aptly?
Yeah. There was one tune that I had a demo of. In fact, it was Ablaze. And the demo I'd written was like a drum and bass thing, and we tried it out. It felt cool. I was into it, but it was. I think the thing is when you're, sometimes you can get really married to a demo, and I think I was so kind of married to the groove, and actually the sort of DNA of that song was more about the chord progression and the kind of the sentiment of the song. So what we actually ended up doing, we sort of tried it as drum and bass, and it just wasn't quite working. So then I kind of went back into the live room and started trying different grooves, using the same chord progression and melody. And in doing that, we found a whole new vibe for the song. So it's kind of like, you know, taking the elements that you do trust, that you believe in most, and then kind of reworking those and trying them in different contexts. So there was a lot of that going on. And Ablaze, in a way, it ends up being one of the most free and most kind of liberating songs, you know, both to play and I find to listen to. I feel like it's the most honest and sincere performance I've ever done.
Bill Lawrence joins us on the checkout from WBGO. We are listening to music from his new recording, After Sun, and also checking out our exclusive 8-camera 360 video that you can go to our website at WBGO.org, check out jazz.org, and watch for yourself this exclusive performance brought to us by Bill Lawrence and his UK team, Michael League and Sput, are not in this particular edition. But who's the percussionist on this recording? Weedy, how do you say his name?
Weedy Bremer, yeah. So Weedy Bremer, he came to the studio when we recorded After Sun. He was actually just hanging out, and he's a big friend, a big fan of Sputs, and an old friend of his as well. And so he was just hanging out at the studio, and he was like saying, "Man, if you ever need percussion on this stuff, I can give it the lift it needs," you know. And I was always kind of thinking percussion was going to be a big part of it. So he was just perfect, and he's the real deal, man. He's originally from Ghana, and he spends a lot of time over there. He's a djembe master, basically. So he was fantastic. But when I'm in the UK or Europe, or even actually I'm going to the States with this amazing young percussionist, Felix Higginbottom, who's also featured on these videos we recorded yesterday, and he's an amazing talent. He's super young and super gifted. He's an incredible player.
Well, let's listen to more of the dancey elements. This is from After Sun, some Afro beat with Bill Lawrence, Soti. Love that stuff, man.
Cool.
It's so crazy in New York City. It was like, I don't know, maybe around the time when Bill T. Jones put on Fela the musical, and you know, got the services of Ante Balas to provide the music for it, that then all of these Afrobeat bands started sprouting up in Manhattan, mostly led by white dudes. And it was just like a kind of a strange little, huh? Yeah. What is going on in New York City right now?
Just a little frenzy of Afrobeat. Yeah, totally, man. They're kind of everywhere, aren't they?
That high life is contagious.
Yeah, but you can't, it's a pretty infectious dance vibe.
What's your best dance move, Bill Lawrence?
You know what? I do okay with like a swing band.
Really? Like old fashioned?
Oh, like old school stuff.
Wow. Like revivalist 1920s. You ever wear long coattails and top hat too?
Not quite like that, but yeah, I mean, I like that sort of that choreographed stuff, you know, and then you can kind of really have some fun with that, you know, as opposed to just kind of freestyle, you know.
That's your classical background speaking. That's your classical identity. Every step needs to be accounted for.
I mean, it's just, you know, when you're, yeah, I mean, it's cool to improvise as well on the dance floor, but I mean, I guess you are when you're doing swing dance, but you know, it's like, I like to have a sort of a list of options to choose from, you know.
Bill Lawrence joins us on the checkout from WBGO. I'm Simon Rettner. So in this also video series that you have on YouTube, you talk about the composing process and the kind of concept of the musical gods coming to you and giving you these melodies at completely unexpected times. What was the tune on this recording or in the performance yesterday that just wrote itself?
I would say Golden Hour was like that. There's this place I go to. My wife has a, well, she's been going to this place in the summer pretty much since she was tiny, on the west coast, southwest coast of France, called Cap Ferret. And it's just this magic, it's just kind of France on the seaside, but it's just absolutely beautiful, stunning place, and the food's incredible, amazing fish food. It's just like oysters and white wine all day, and it's just a brilliant vibe. And the sunsets there are really amazing. And I was kind of trying to write a tune. I was kind of working on music while I was there, and I was trying to find a song that kind of represented, I don't know, that light, that golden light. And it just kind of came out. You know, I actually didn't write it while I was there. I came back. I'd been kind of thinking about it, and then I came back, and it just kind of all came out. You know, and as I say in the YouTube videos, it's like how do you access that part of your brain? How do you, because it just seems to just kind of suddenly appear, and then, you know, and then you go again and you try and write something else, and there's nothing. You know, so where does that energy come from? And I think I've so far, I'm still trying to work it out, but I feel like it's just about experience, just kind of, you know, it's about having things to write about. So if I feel dry in that department, then I just tell myself I need to go and live a little more, and I need to, you know, go and soak up some culture, go and travel, go for a long hike, you know.
Well, yeah, so that's my next question then. What's your next adventure, Bill Lawrence? And I don't want, like, I'm going to go to, you know, the Blue Note or something boring like that. I want a real adventure.
Well, I mean, another thing I'm planning is I did a massive hike a few years ago in the Himalayas, and with one of my old friends from school, and so we're talking about sort of doing the second leg of that later this year, because I think, you know, putting yourself in like serious isolation is also, I find, a really kind of cleansing and quite inspiring thing, creatively speaking. I find whenever I come back from somewhere like the middle of the Himalayas, I've got all kinds of creative ideas, you know. So it's kind of like wiping the slate blank so you can start afresh.
Brilliant, Bill Lawrence. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us and sharing your 360 video and music from your new recording, After Sun. Before we leave, I want you to hip us to some David Crosby stuff, but from like a jazz perspective.
Man, I mean, I love all his old stuff, but to be honest, the tune that he recorded on the Family Dinner Volume 2, Somebody Home, it's called. And I remember when he first played it to us in the rehearsal, and I looked around when he finished, and like half the band were in tears, man. It's crazy. And his wife is just a wonderful woman, and they're obviously like still hopelessly in love, and it's kind of just about their relationship, you know. And it's just so sincere, and it's magic. Somebody Home. It's from the Family Dinner Volume 2 record.
Well, we'll leave our listeners with that. Again, Bill Lawrence, thank you so much for joining us here on The Checkout.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Thinking about winning you like winning a race. And missing you watching and being stunned by your face. But when I look at your face, I think there's somebody home.